Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service this morning. It is good to be gathered here together, and hopefully we've all had a good week, and we are excited about being here with one another. And if there are any visitors we have with us this morning, we do welcome you. We're glad you're here with us this morning. I'm looking around. I don't know if I see any or not, but if I missed you, we are glad to have you here with us this morning. Have just a couple of announcements, reminders from the bulletin. I know you saw on the slideshow there. This afternoon, those of you on the youth committee probably got a reminder in the mail that there was a meeting this afternoon. That meeting obviously is canceled due to District League here tonight at 5 o'clock. So there will be no youth committee meeting today. We do have District League at 5 o'clock and invite all of you to come out if you can tonight to support our youth in that event. And I believe there will be some snacks following. And I believe the youth tonight also will not only just be participating in the Bible study and Bible activities, but they'll also be singing tonight, I believe. They have a special that they'll be singing tonight. So if you can, please attend tonight and support those who are involved in that. I believe that really was the only reminder I have. I know there's a lot of things coming up in July. Look through your bulletin, keep up to date on those things, and make sure you're up to date and know what's coming up. Dr. Blank did have one thing he wanted to mention to you.
One thing, actually two, but they're short. One, again, remember, this is the last day of the month of June. I knew you knew that, but it will be the last Sunday to give your faith promise for this month. If you don't have it with you today, this morning, be sure to bring it this evening if possible, and be sure Ed Figpen gets that in order to have it to disperse to our missionaries and their support at our next committee meeting. Also, as Gladys and my privilege to visit John and Doris Price while we were on our Pennsylvania trip, 2,600 some miles altogether. John and Doris are now living north of Pittsburgh in Meadville. John is doing quite well. Doris is not doing well at all. She is experiencing extreme results of Alzheimer's. I'm not even sure she really knew us, but it was a good visit with them. And she's at a nursing home there. John is staying with their daughter, Lila, and her husband, the doctor. So do pray for them. John said, Mr. Blank, please share our love and greetings with the Turbyville Church. So I did want to do that. They send their greetings and love to you. Continue to pray for them in their retiring years, that God will bless them. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Blank. I did have one other announcement. It was not church related at all, but July 4th is coming up this next Saturday, and New Zion does have their yearly parade. If you all would like to come out and enjoy that parade, I believe it starts at 10 o'clock. I believe that's right. I hope it's not at 9. If it's at 9, you show up at 10, you'll be about 45 minutes late, because it won't last very long. It'll be about 10 to 15 minutes. But anyway, if you get a chance, come on over and enjoy that time together. With any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Scott?
Just want to let everybody know we had our Cartwright meeting Monday night. We kind of redid our circle committees, and I talked to a few this morning, but if I went and left the list at home that we kind of came up with, but the main point is, if you're a man or a young man or anybody in this church, we want you on a circle committee. So, to get involved. So if we hadn't contacted you or got in touch with you, you let me know. You can let me or Mark know. He's the vice president, and we'll get you on the committee because we want everybody to participate. And we also went over some ideas that we kicked around about doing some, and there'll be more on this to come, but doing some projects here within the church and the community. We're going to get an insert for the bulletin. As soon as we get that, we'll make announcements and let everybody know that y'all be praying for us and thinking about us, but trying to do some neat stuff. But we want everybody involved. So if you didn't get on one or hadn't heard, just let me know. We'll be glad to find a spot for you.
All right, thanks, Scott. Any other announcements this morning from the congregation?
What Scott said, encouraging the next generation, these children and young men to follow along and set a good example. We had something within our family just happened last week that I thought was worth sharing. And this is coming from the heart of the innocent, the children. And we were just actually having Sunday dinner, and one child asked a question about, and and I know it's biblical. It took me a while to research it, but just in Nehemiah, you know, a quick answer for the children when they ask that question, you know, why do people stand in a service when God's word is read? And why do people not stand? Why do some churches do? And, you know, you don't not interrupt the order of this service or any other service, but just in response to my children, I'd like, as humbly as I know how to ask, for my children and my family to stand today whenever Dr. Walls begins to read his text message for the service. And you know, if you'd like to join, I'd certainly be encouraging me. But as humbly as I know how to ask, I want to do that for my family as clear of an example I can be to give them that response to what I feel like the answer to that question was. Why do we stand when God's word is open? And Nehemiah 8:5 says, you know, Ezra opened the book. People stood. They stood fast and they stood with attention as if they're soldiers in an army. And never before do we need to be setting an example than today in our churches and our families. So I appreciate this church. I appreciate the opportunity to say that and to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. We appreciate that. Thank you. Any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful to you for all you've blessed us with. We, again, thank you for the opportunity and the freedom we have to gather here together this morning and in the safety of these walls. And we just give you praise for that and just ask that you would bless this time that we have together. I pray, Lord, that what is said and done here this morning you would use to speak to the hearts and minds of all who are here, to draw us closer to you and help us to take it, Lord, what we hear today from your word, what we hear from song, take all this, apply it to our lives so that we can be better servants for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And truly we can say this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it, because through Jesus Christ we are a family of God. Let us begin our worship day singing together the call to worship, Wonderful, Wonderful, followed by My Savior's Love, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. And let us stand together as we sing, Wonderful, Wonderful, Jesus is to me. And amazed in the presence, singing together.
To your prayer list, please add Miss Mary Ruth Green. It's my understanding she is going to be going into the hospital in the morning and will be there for several days. So please get her on your prayer list and call her name out before the Lord. There are many on here. Several are new this week, so please take some time and review the list, pray for the list, because it truly does matter. Let's pray. Lord, we bow, we pause as part of our worship to lift our hearts to you in prayer. Because, Lord, we want to be the very best that we can be. We truly want to know how to make you known, not only among the nations that are far away, but how can we make you known amongst our family and our friends that live right here in this community? I mean, how can we show you, and how can we show your love best to them? We want to truly be the light and salt of the world that you said your church would always be. And so, Lord, we recognize in answer to those questions, we know how much that we need your living presence working in us, lifting us up, and Lord, truly lifting us above who we normally are, letting us live lives that we can't live without your Holy Spirit at work within us. So, Lord, we're asking you in this moment that you would fill our lives with your presence. And, Lord, we pray that truly you would embed your word deep within our hearts. Not just the parts that we often run to and like, but Lord, your complete, total word at work within us, changing us and sending us out. Lord, that we truly can be living a Christian life in response to our nation and to our world that just keeps moving further and further away from you. But Lord, may your church stand up and arise and show forth your love to all. And Lord, we do pause and we pray for those on our prayer list. Believing, knowing, Lord, because we've experienced in the past how that when we have called out names before you, you have not only heard our prayers, but you have responded to those prayers and you've answered. And so we pray for your touch to be upon those on this list this morning. And Lord, the truth is the list is so long and so many. And we are so thankful that you are such a big and awesome and wonderful God, and that the list is not too big for you. And so we do pray this morning, Lord, that you would have your will in the lives of these needs, that you would have your will in our lives, that you would have your will within our church, because we want to truly be your holy and righteous people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This time we invite our girls to teen quartet to come and bless our hearts in song. Pray for them as they come and minister in song at this time.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all and all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all and all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Thank you, girls. Ushers, please come to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do again thank you for your love toward us and your mercy and grace and your many blessings, Lord. And we just, as we give this portion back, as we give this gift back, Lord, we just ask that you would take it and use it for your honor and your glory and for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we do ask that whatever we give and whatever we do, we would do so with a joyful heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before Pastor Walls comes to share the word again this morning, we invite you to turn with us to hymn number 514. And then during the singing of this song, we will dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. And then following this number, just before the message, Laura Kelly will be sharing a special selection. Will you stand with me, please? In my heart there rings a melody. I have a song together singing. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Laura, come and share your testimony and song.
Prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. Your mind.
For those of you that would like to stand for the reading of the Word, now is the time. We'll be reading the 143rd Psalm, Psalm of David, Psalm 143. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen for my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring the word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. May, for your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. And in your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you with your Bible still open, flip to the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians as well. I want to read a couple of verses there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances." Keep going, Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians 6 and 19 says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." You're not done yet. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord." And one more, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." I first want to start by saying thank you so much for all of you that prayed for us while we were away for about 3 weeks. It truly made a difference, and it means a lot to know that you are being prayed for. I got to tell you, I was blessed because I got to work way up here. And it's called the Willingham Center, and they were getting ready for a pastor's conference, and so there were some things that had to be done. In fact, the conference, I believe, is going to be next weekend, and so there wasn't anybody else to do it, and so I got blessed with being able to do the work up there, and so that was my office for about a week. And I got to tell you, from up there, the view looks like this, and that view will never get old to me. I lived that view for several years, as most of you know, and every time I go back there, I am just blessed at the beauty and the power of God, and every time I go there, it is for me at least a special place. So I want to say thank you for praying and allowing us to go, because I told Mr. Don before we go, when I go on these trips, it recharges my batteries. I need a time where I get away from everything that's going on and I step out into God's place. And for me now, and it might not be for you, but for me, when I go up there and I look down and I look over, there is a special anointing that comes upon my heart and it changes me. So thank you for allowing us the opportunity to go. And I also thank you for praying for us, because for those of you on Wednesday night, you know that I had to preach at chapel service down there, and they asked me to do it in Spanish, and I'll be honest with you, I was worried, I still am pretty worried. This is a picture of the service. And yes, it's a long sleeve shirt. And no, they don't have air conditioning. And yes, it was hot, but you don't worry about it down there. You just sweat and go on. All right? So we're preaching down there. And, you know, I had a little help. Had Isabella read the scripture for me, because there's a couple of words in there. I stumbled on them every single time I read the scripture. So Isabella was there. She's a great reader. And I asked her to come up, and she read the scripture for me. And truthfully, God spoke. Now, I know I still made a mess of things at times with my Spanish, but God still spoke, because even several days after the sermon, several of the children would come up and they were talking about some of the points that I had made in the service, and I simply uplifted my hand, and it's okay to do that in church. I uplifted my hand and said, "Thank you, God, because I know it wasn't me. It could only have come through you. So thank you for praying for us." All right? And as I sat there in Charleston that morning, as I was leaving at the gate, I remember thinking, okay, Lord, what's this trip going to be about? I've never taken a trip like this where there isn't some sort of a common thread or theme that runs through it, that God just, at least for me, is saying something very. And so I wondered, Lord, what's it going to be over the next several weeks? What is it that you want to show me? In fact, even a friend asked me, he said, what do you want God to do in your life while you're down there? And, you know, and so I wondered, what's God got in store? And in that conversation, the friend asked me what I wanted God to do. He said, well, what do you miss about being in Honduras? And he said, and before I could say it, I was going to say, of course, the children and the house parents, and the relationship that we have with him. And before I could even hardly, he said, you can't say the children, because everybody, of course, is going to miss the children. And so I said, well, okay, let me think. And then I said, well, you know, I'll tell you a couple things I don't miss. I don't miss having to worry about whether the electricity is going to be on, and when it goes off, how long it's going to be off. Although I got to tell you, it only went off twice in 20 days and only off for a short time. That was almost a miracle in and of itself. I said, I don't miss walking around in sweaty clothes all day. Because from the time you step out of the indoor in Honduras to the time you take a shower that night, you're walking around in sweat. I don't miss that. And then I thought a little bit and I said, you know, even though Honduras is such a pretty country, I don't miss being slapped in the face with the stark poverty that so many of them live within. I can hide from it here. I can turn away from it, but down there, it just keeps slapping you in the face. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. It's Juancito. Juancito, well, you know you've arrived a little bit in Spanish when you can understand him, because he mumbles a lot and he's hard to understand. And fact is, I'm not sure what he's speaking, and sometimes even other Hondurans aren't. But Juancito is a beautiful, beautiful man. And one morning walked out, and Juancito's working. Now, Juancito goes to work every morning at 6 a.m., every morning, and works to about 2:30 in the afternoon. And he's the yard guy at Faith Home. He trims with a machete over 20 acres of property. That's his life, by the way. And for him, it's the best his life's going to be, because he can't read and he can't write. And when we would pay Juancito, he always simply had to make an X, because he didn't even know how to spell out his name, because of poverty, he never had the opportunity to ever attend school. Lives more than not very far from Faith Home, walks down the road every day. And truly, he's blessed to be able to work there and to do that kind of work, because, quite frankly, he couldn't get paid that much money anywhere else. But poverty is real down there, and I don't miss that. When I was up at the Bible Institute, I had three children, and their family lives up there. And especially the little guy in the center up there, he was always wanting to hang around and watch what I was doing. And so, of course, one day, his sisters didn't stick around nearly as often as he did, but one day he's there by himself, and I asked him what his name was, and he told me several times, and I'm going to call him Little Juancito for y'all. Little Juancito. And his family lives up there, and really they're blessed to have a home to live in because they didn't have one before then. His father works in the cane fields or wherever he can find work. And I asked little Juancito, I said, do you go to school? No, I don't go to school. How old are you? And he told me how old he was. And the truth is, he's destined to be another Juancito. Not because he's not smart. Not because he did something wrong before his mother gave birth to him. Not because he's not as good as we are. He's destined to be another Juancito because of the stark realities of poverty. Oh, by the grace of God, that would be our lives. I don't miss that. I do miss the children, by the way. I miss Tejadas, too. I love Tejadas and Montucas. But seriously, what I want to talk to you about this morning, I miss the way God, I see God coming through time and again when I'm down there. Now, please don't misunderstand me and hear me out on this. It's not that God doesn't come through for me here. But down there, when we lived down there, we were so much more dependent upon God. And we knew that if God didn't come through and God didn't do it, it wasn't going to happen. And over and over, I would marvel at how God would come through. And sometimes, the truth is, sometimes my faith is such here that I don't give God that much opportunity to come through like that here. Too often, we only want to try things that we can do. And so we never get the blessing of seeing how wildly amazing our God can be. Well, down there, you can't. God just got to come through or it doesn't happen. And I was thinking about the time that Teresa comes to me and we were buying uniforms for the children and they were going off campus and she basically needed a down payment to get the uniforms made and it wiped out all the little bit of reserve cash on hand I had in the safe. There were no more teams coming that would leave us any money. I mean, I just knew it's like, well, we better not have any sort of an emergency or we're in trouble because we're out of cash. But I gave her the money because kids got to have uniforms. And I went that day at noon, and I checked my email, and I'd gotten an email from a man by the name of Don Witter. A couple of you know him. He's served as a host down there for some of the teams. And in the email, Don said, look, I was at a gas station today talking to a guy about Faith Home, and somehow this guy just says, hey, I've got $2,000. You think Faith Home can use it? And Don said, so I'm sending $2,000 to you. I hope you can use it. And I emailed him back and said, well, absolutely, I've got uniforms to buy. And I raised my hand and said, thank you, Jesus, again. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, God will come through for us if we just let him. I mean, are we surprised? Shouldn't we be surprised? I mean, we really shouldn't, because isn't that the promise of Philippians 4:9? And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what God promised, and isn't that what God is willing to do? See, when we live on the edge like that, at least an edge from a human perspective, I mean, when we live on the edge and truly only are involved in things that only God can do, then we begin to see how amazing and powerful our God truly is. And many churches today never find the thrill and the power of God simply because they never try doing anything that they can't do already. But we are called to live by faith and not sight. When we follow God and when we pray, well, when we pray, amazing things begin to happen. So why is it, at least maybe it's just me, but why is it so often we either don't pray about certain things or we wait to the last, you know, when we're out of options before we pray? We were down at the barn and we were looking for some nuts. And no, I wasn't looking for any of you. The ones that go on the bolts, all right? And we really had to have them the next day or we couldn't go any further. And you just don't run to Home Depot, okay? It don't work that way down there. We needed these. We were at an impasse. And there were four of us, and we're looking through everything. It's like, surely they got to have them. And we've looked 30, 35 minutes. And truthfully, we're getting ready to give up and say, okay, tomorrow we're going to go to plan B. And I simply said, Lord, will you please just show us where the nuts are? I know, kind of silly, right? I kid you not, within a minute, Pete says, "Hey, I think I found him." And one of the guys said, "Why didn't you pray that sooner?" Why is it we want to wait to the end to pray? Why don't we start with it? I'm wondering how many things we might avoid and how much we might, you know, see God at work before we get to the end of the rope. Or why is it there are some things we think maybe, well, we just think maybe God's not interested because we don't pray about it. One of the teams came in, the first team that was there, came in, and they're a wonderful group of people, and one of them in a conversation was having that was asking, and I don't even really remember how it came, but I simply mentioned I hadn't been sleeping well. I'd only been there a couple days. I really wasn't sleeping. Don't know why. Maybe too tired. Don't know. Just wasn't sleeping well. And so that night, I'd come in late, and I was driving down the road, and I noticed the team out in front of my cottage getting bug bit. So I simply wait, because I can tell they're praying. When they get done, I pull up, and the team leader says, "I think you'll sleep just fine tonight." And I did. Surprised? And should we be? Why is it we don't pray a little more? The older man in the middle with the red shirt on is Marcos. Marcos has cancer. He's already went through one round of chemo, and he's now in his second round. The cancer has come back. Marcos and Mina are some of the dearest friends that we have in Honduras. From a selfish point of view, I pray that God remove that cancer from that man. And I pray that that he'll be okay. But he's taking chemo, and I was blessed to be able to take him into the hospital on a couple of different days while we were down there. I knew the way and could go in and make the trip by myself, and so we were able to do that. And it was a blessing because I got to spend some time with somebody that I really love. And I was talking to him about the treatments and all that was going on in his life. And he told me how sick he was feeling after the chemo. He said for 4 to 6 days, he just literally couldn't hardly get out of bed, but he couldn't stay in bed. He couldn't eat. I mean, just terrible. Just terrible. And so that night, I simply shared with the team that was on the ground. I said, "We need to pray for Marcos." So I really just feel burdened for him. I said, "Let's just pray that, you know, if he's got to take the chemo, somehow it's not going to make him so sick." And so we gathered up. We prayed. Saw Marcos the next day and a couple of days later. And each day I would ask him, "How are you doing?" And he would just smile and said, I feel great." Surprised? Should we be? See, that's what happens when we pray, because that's the testimony of Scripture, is it not? No, really, you go through, and time and again, what we find is David, first of all, in his prayer, in the book of Psalms, says, "Lord, hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy," and then he nailed it, he said, "In your faithfulness, in your righteousness, come to my relief," and that's just, it's God's faithfulness, that's what we depend upon. That's what Jehoshaphat depended upon when that great army was coming against him. You can read the chapter this afternoon, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Great army coming against him. He knows they're not going to be able to withstand this army. And what's he do? He simply goes to the temple and begins to pray. And he ends the prayer by saying, "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you, God, because if you don't come through, we're dead." And the next day, they go out to see what God's going to do, and God caused confusion in that great army that was coming against them. They turned them on, and they wiped each other out. That's the testimony of Scripture, right? In God's faithfulness and righteousness, when we lift up our hearts in prayer to Him, God comes through. Are we surprised, and should we be? Look, when Peter's in prison, he's deep in the prison. You read Acts, look, Herod has got him locked up as securely as he possibly can put him, right? He's got him in the inner part of the jail cell. He's got guards chained to his arms. He's all chained up. No way he's walking out of there except the church is praying for Peter. And God's got a plan for Peter, and it don't include getting killed by Herod. In the middle of the night, the chains fall off and the doors open up and Peter goes walking out. Is that not the testimony of Scripture? Lord, hear our prayer in your faithfulness and in your righteousness. Come to our relief. Because when we pray, God directs us. Oh, how important we begin to pray. And David said, show me the way, Lord, that I should go. Show me the way. Be honest now, did you pray it this morning? I knew it was coming up, and I didn't even pray it. But shouldn't that be our prayer every single morning? Lord, show me the way that I should go today. In Acts chapter 8, we find these words. It says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And if I'd have been Philip, I'd have been said, why, Lord, there's nothing down there. It's a desert road. But there was something down there. There was a man down there, an Ethiopian down there, that needed Philip to tell him about Jesus. And because Philip was willing to let God show him the way, he went down on that road. He told that man about Jesus, and that man became a Christian that day. Surprised? Should we be? One night, we gathered down at Casa 4. Me and the director of Faith on Christina and Pastor Miguel. And I can't give you a lot of details, but there's just been a lot of problems in that house. The boys there, it's a house of boys, and there's a lot of issues going on. And there's also a lot of issues going on in the lives of Olvin and Lily. Their baby that was born just a few months ago died about a week into life. You may have heard that. Some of you know that. Olvin especially is struggling mightily with anger. And Christina asked if, being a pastor, if I wouldn't find time to spend with him and talk with him. And so certainly we did on a variety of occasions. And on one particular day, in fact, I went down to the house and I said, Olvin, can we just talk for a little bit? And we talked quite a while. And again, that was amazing because I understood most of what he was saying to me, and I think he understood what I was trying to say to him. And I shared with him, I said, you know, Olvin, I said, we're going to be praying for you. I said, my church and I are going to be praying for you. And he stopped, and he said, your church would pray for me? And I said, I believe they will, Olvin. Please don't let me down on this one, folks. Pray for Olvin and Lily. And he just reached up and touched his heart, and he began to smile. And it's the first smile I'd seen on that man's face since I'd been there. And he said, that just brings happiness to my heart, that people that don't know me would pray for me. Look, I told him I couldn't understand what he's going through. I can't imagine losing a baby like that. And like I say, he's dealing with a lot of emotions. And anyway, we're down at Cottage 4, and we started the prayer simply with Olvin and Lily. So it's five of us in this little bitty room, and we prayed, and when you pray in Honduras, everybody prays out loud, by the way. All right, it's not like we do here. So it's you know, we're all praying, and Pastor Miguel and Christina moved off to another area, but I was still praying, and Olvin and Lily were there, and I just knew I was supposed to go up and put my arms around him. And when I did, he began to weep like a little baby. And Lily came up, and she put her... The three of us stood there embracing. And for those of you that know me, you know that I'm not a hugger. I'm not anti-hug, by the way. I just am not a hugger. I'm not who I am. I don't run away from them. I seldom take the initiative. But anyway, that day I knew I was supposed to. And I continued to pray for them as we sat there and wept together. And the next day, his testimony to Christina was, something happened that night. He said, as Rodney put his arms around us, he said, we felt like it was the love of a father for us. And he said, oh, how we needed that love. He said, but more than that, he said, we felt like it was the embrace of our Heavenly Father too. And I simply stood back and said, wow, thank you, Jesus, because I know that was all God, because it's not me. I'm not the hugging type, you see. I don't do that. And yet, when we let God lead us, when we're paying attention to what God is saying, He can do amazing things through the smallest of acts. A hug, a kind word, even a smile. And so, I ask you this morning, pray for Olvin and Lily. Things have continued to go kind of difficult for them, even since we have left. And they so desperately need your prayers. And so at the gate, I wondered, remember, what was God going to show me? And if you, I want to believe by now you're beginning to understand what this message is about and what I believe God repeatedly, over and over, reminded me of. And it wasn't so much that we need to pray, but it was more how God really responds to the prayer of his people. And for that reason, I think it's time to double down on prayer. I think it's time that we have a renewed sense of passion for prayer. David said, "Oh Lord, in your righteousness and in your faithfulness, hear our prayer," and let that become our plea to God this morning. Because we are God's people. So let him show us the way. And when we make ourselves available to God, who knows how many lives that we are going to touch and how that God is going to work. Right out there in the hallway is one example of how God's at work and in response to the prayers of his church. Can you see that second line up there? First time salvations. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I got to tell you, I don't know how many were, but I know several of us were praying that God would do just that during that week, that lives would be for eternity changed, and lives have been. When we make ourselves available to God in prayer and follow his leading, he does amazing things. Look, God's got a plan for our church. That's part of the message that I preach to those children of Faith. Dios tiene un gran plan para ti. Dios puede hacer un camino cuando parece que no hay manera. God can make a way when there is no way. That's the God that we serve. The Hebrews, they walked across on Sieca Terra because it was dry ground, because God had a plan for them, and their plan wasn't to be destroyed by Pharaoh or go back into slavery. God has a plan for us, for you and for me. Are we surprised? And should we be? Look, let us build our lives on God's plan. Let's make ourselves more available. And it is a plan that I firmly believe will only be revealed to us through prayer. It is a plan that can only be empowered by prayer. We want a different world where hate's not so strong that a young man will go into a Bible study, pull out a gun, and kill 9 people. We want a different nation that won't run away from the living and eternal truths of God, but will run back to it and embrace it. Do we want a community that truly is one in Christ, together, not separated by poverty or by race or anything else? Do we want a church that's on fire, united and growing? It is time. It is time to pray. Surprised? Should we be? Oh Lord, hear my prayer and listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and in your righteousness, come. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. For I am your servant. May that be our prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that in response to our prayers, you not only hear them, but that you respond to them in ways that really are just hard for us to fathom. And Lord, I pray that what you revealed on my recent trip becomes a reality right here, right now in Turbyville. Lord, that we'll begin to live our lives in such a way that we'll see you working just as much here as we do in other places. Not because you are unwilling, but because so often, Lord, we're unwilling to truly put our lives out on the line for you. So today, Lord, help us to do that, to put our lives out on the line for you and for you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
We invite the church to join together in 359. Jesus is Lord of all. May this truly be a part of our hearts as we commit all to him and follow his will in prayer. All my tomorrows, joining together singing. Pastor, permission to call our whole church together to come to this altar and do what he said we would do for Olin and Lily. I can't imagine either the heartbreak when they longed for this little child. And God in his sovereign purpose saw fit to take the little one to heaven. It doesn't change their hurt. It doesn't change their continued faith. But they do need our prayers. And so rather than the benedictory prayer this morning or song, I'm going to ask the church, let's just move around this altar. I'm going to ask the pastor to lead us as we pray for Olin and Lily this morning.
Those in the balcony, they're on their way, so I want them to be a part of this too. Let's pray.
Lord, you know better than we, better than us, the depth, the pain, the hurt that is in Olvin and Lily's hearts. And Lord, I simply bring them before you. Sometimes, Lord, we simply struggle with the right thoughts, the right words. And Lord, as they're struggling to find their way through this great tragedy in their life and the things that are going on, that Lord, their world seems like it's just completely out of control. But Lord, in this moment, Lord, on this Sunday, in this very moment, where they are right now in Honduras, and Lord, you know where they are. God, may your spirit testify with their spirit that the church has gathered to lift them up before you. That somehow, Lord, that through that touch, through the movement of your Holy Spirit, that their, Lord, their lives would begin to heal and to be changed and to be drawn closer to you than they've ever been before. Lord, I know that there's some of your choice servants. And I know that you have a great plan for them. And I don't understand why they had to go through this, but Lord, I pray that you will use this. And that, Lord, as they emerge on the other side of this, they will emerge with a stronger faith than they've ever had before. So we thank you, Lord, for your touch upon their lives, and how we praise you for not only hearing our prayer this morning, but for responding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.